was standing here just a few moments ago, the Lord said, speak clarity to confusion. Speak clarity to confusion. Because there is power and there is doubt all in the same atmosphere. And that's okay. And we're going to work through that today. The Lord gave me a title to a message about a week and a half ago. That's how it works. Sometimes he gives me the beginning. Sometimes he gives me the end. Sometimes he gives me the middle. Sometimes he gives me a thought. He doesn't do it the same time every time because he wants me to be flexible and know that, dude, just be obedient and do what I want you to do. That's what he teaches me. I'm not going to do it the same all the time because I don't do the same things all the time. That's not how I operate. So he gave me a message and it was, touch my wounds. Touch my wounds. I'm going to read a Psalms, the whole Psalms for a moment. I have a ton of scripture to go through today because I don't want it to be in my opinion. I want it to be the word. And I'm going to try to pull a common theme all throughout the Bible and put it together. Sometimes that takes time. I'm trying to navigate through it the best that I can. I'm going to start in the book of Psalms. Psalms 34 is where I'm going to start out this morning. Psalms 34. Psalms 34. I'm going to read one all the way through the end, and then we can be seated. This would be a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech. This would be when he would go and he would be fleeing from Saul and he would spit down his beard, which was a disgrace if you understand the context of the Bible. I don't find it ironic that Jesus would spit in somebody's face and blind eyes would come open. And this would be his psalm in this moment when he is fleeing and he is running for his life. This would be what the psalmist would say. I'm going to try to adequately portray what he has given me today, and I'm going to do my very best to portray what I feel. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. It doesn't say that he kept me from them. He saved me from them. They looked to me, or they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lion lacks and suffers hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He welcomes you on this journey of him teaching you. It's not my knowledge, it's his knowledge. He wants to teach you. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's why the psalmist would refer back, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, when he says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, which is the word for righteousness and sanctification, without which you will not see the kingdom. It's not once saved, always saved. There's an action that's required. I have to pursue some things if I want to be confined, if I want to be conformed to his image. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such have a contrite spirit. He tells you all that, and then this is what he says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God, I thought living for you, I was going to bypass the process. It's not how it works in the kingdom. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm not here to talk about afflictions, though. But the Lord delivers him out of all of them. He guards all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteous shall be condemned. And the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. I'm not here to edify or build up afflictions, but I am here to tell you how God operates. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He'll also read in the book of Isaiah, he'll say, my ways are above your ways. I don't do things the way that you do them. I don't see things the way that you see them. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. I'm going to teach you my ways. And affliction and persecution is the soil to promotion. I don't like that. That's just how it works in the kingdom. So I'm here to bring some clarity to that thought this morning. When he said, touch my wounds, he downloaded a few things into me. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to try to adequately portray that this morning. Father, I submit my mouth to you, God. I submit my mind to you, Jesus. Lord, let me be a vessel to be used by you, God. I am no different than anyone in this room, and I need to hear your voice just like anybody else this morning, Jesus. God, speak to your body and let them be comforted and edified today, God. Speak to us with a loud and a clear voice, Jesus, and have your way in this place. Let your kingdom come and your glory manifest itself in the atmosphere of this place, God. I will praise you and I will lift you on high, and I will bless the Lord with the saints in this building, God, as we lift you up and we worship you, Jesus. I submit myself to you, Father. I submit my voice to you, Jesus. Let your face would shine in here today, God. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated for just a few moments. We live in a world where when we start as a young man and as a child, when we're bad, we're disciplined. And when we do good, we're blessed. And if we're not careful, we'll bring that same thing into our relationship with Jesus. And we'll think, okay, if I'm blessed, that means I'm in alignment. And when things are going left, I'm somehow not in your will any longer. I'm not saying that that just is what it is sometimes. That's where you have to have spiritual discernment to understand, am I the problem? Because I can be the problem. Or God, are you working some things out for me? If I don't check the oil in my truck and it blows up, that's not God's fault. He's not punishing me for that. That's not the devil working. That was my ignorance. I can do some things to get in his way. But God's proven work is what he's always done is persecution or trials or tribulations. And he says, that's how you know. Peter would actually say in the New Testament, when I'm afflicted, it's because the glory is resting upon me. I'm afflicted because he's glorifying me. He's teaching me, and that's his training ground. I don't like that, but that's just kind of is what it is. And I think sometimes that we can be confused by those things because that's how it works in our world. If you're an employee, I'm going to be the best employee that I can. And when I do bad, I'm going to get punished. That's not how it works in the kingdom. That is not how it works in the kingdom. Sometimes persecution is exactly what it needs. This Psalm of David was anointed 3 times before he ever made it to be king. And he would be running in this psalm right here. He would be fleeing from Saul. And in this context, he would have already, Jonathan had already shot the arrows. He had been running. And this is what he would say, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. He wasn't anointed king. And then the next day was in the kingdom. That's not how it worked. You're going to be the new king. Well, bring me to the kingdom. Who do I got to take out? Before you can be the king, I've got to work on your character. And how I'm going to work on your character is you're going to have to run, you're going to have to flee, you're going to have to, and I'm going to make sure you're getting ready to be over some things, and I need you to be okay before I can get you there. And it was the will of the Lord. Isaiah would say it was his will to bruise him. I wanted to do that. I don't like that about Jesus. I woke up this morning and I walked into my living room, which is my prayer closet. That's where I walk. And as soon as I broke through the threshold of my living room, I stepped in. Man, I felt the Holy Ghost. And I said, God, this is a great feeling I feel. It's also a familiar feeling. God, what am I feeling this morning? What is this familiar? I remember something in the spirit that's linked to something that you did for me. And what is it? And what I saw was me and my wife driving down the road when we had sold our home in Florida. God had promised us, he gave us a word, And then he gave us the persecution. And then came the promise. And in that year, I was so confused what God was doing. But when the climax of it all happened, and me and my wife had just signed over the papers of our home, we were driving down the road, and she gets an alert on her phone, and she's like, there's $175,000 in our bank account. That was a great feeling, not because of the money. I care nothing about that. But God, you did what everybody said you wouldn't do. Everybody doubted God's not going to sell your home for more money than it's worth. He doesn't do those things. He did that before it was a thing. That's pretty normal right now. That's not God. It wasn't normal when I did it. You sold things for less. You built it high. You put it really high so you could sell it for like here. He did the opposite for us. And I remembered that was this morning, because sometimes there's doubt when prophecy goes forth, because there's been a lot of prophetic words that have been spoken from this pulpit, and it hasn't happened yet. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That's giving you a chance and a season to align with the word. That's where the amen would go forth. God, I believe that that's going to happen. I speak in Jesus' name over my city because I believe the man of God, that he sees from God and he hears from his voice, and this is actually going to happen. But that doesn't come without persecution first. That's how church works. That's why sometimes it's crazy. You look at our church and you're like, man, it's been crazy, but it's not all been crazy. We've cast demons out in the parking lot. We've baptized people in Jesus' name. There's people speaking in tongues in the service hasn't even started yet, and they're out there praying back through, and they haven't done that in 20 years. That's the miraculous God has been doing in here. That's what he does, man. It's part hell and it's part glory. That's just how it works in the kingdom. Jesus, when things go right for people, the children of Israel, when everything was going right, they walked away from God. When everything was perfect, they were like, man, I don't need you. And so he would give them over, and then they would be persecuted, and then they would cry out to him. That's how it worked. So in the New Testament, I'm going to prove that to you, he gives you this healthy balance of both. You're going to be persecuted, but you're also going to be blessed. I'm trying to keep you in this place, because too much persecution, you can't bear that weight. You can't bear the weight of the heaviness all of the time. But if I bless you gloriously, you might walk away from me. And I believe in divine blessings. I'm not here to say that there's not millionaires in this room right now. I believe that. I actually have no doubt about that. The Lord has shown me that. So then he takes you through a process so that you can handle it, because there's a big weight carrying with that. It's the same with Joseph. Joseph had to go through a promise because he was going to be the savior of a nation. Well, that took 20 years for that to happen. And he was working on his character so he didn't mess up right there at the end. That's the way that it works with Jesus, man. Sometimes it's persecution, but then there's blessings. And I feel like God impressed upon me that this morning, because he's like, bro, I'm going to do everything that I said I was going to do. Don't you doubt what I said. And I felt that familiar wave of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, oh man, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. I'm not here to talk about the heaviness of affliction, but I want to help you, because I think sometimes we look at persecution and we're like, God, am I outside of your will? And he's like, bro, you're right in the middle of it. In fact, that's why bad things are happening, because you are right in the middle of my will, my good and faithful servant. I can trust you with the process. I'm cultivating your character is what I'm doing. Now that you've taken on my name, and I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. Now that you've taken on my name and I've filled you with my spirit, now you got to look like me. You can't look like you anymore. Now you're my baby. And you're not going to tell me what I'm going to do to you. That's not how it works. You're my baby. That's just the way it is. And I think sometimes that we can be confused. God, what's going on with the church? Man, it looks crazy. Ask yourself if you're part of the problem or part of the solution. Am I gaining the favor of the Lord? Am I doing what's right to welcome his praise into this place, or am I hindering it? I ask myself all the time, Jesus, keep me in alignment so that things can flow right. We're not without work in the kingdom, and the work is dirty and it's hard sometimes. He would do that right in the beginning of Genesis. He didn't tell Adam, hey, bro, just sit underneath the tree and catch apples in your mouth. It's not what my guy said. He said, I'm going to finish the work and then you're going to carry it on. The same thing that's why Jesus did the same thing in the New Testament. I'm going to finish the work. It is finished. And now you carry it on. That's how it works. I don't think it's ironic that in the beginning, in the garden, Jesus would take all of his disciples into a garden. He would teach them how to pray, let your will be done, let the kingdom come. Because when the kingdom of God comes, it's his will, not my will. He said, you pray for the will of the Lord, not your own will. Because if you pray for your will, it's not going to work out real well. And he would teach them to pray in a garden. And you would see Jesus prostrate. He would be on his hands and knees, and he would be praying in a garden. If you go back to the garden imagery, and I'm not going to stay on this place, he didn't give my guy a Kubota tractor in the garden. Or a John Deere. I apologize if that offends you. He did not give him a tractor in the garden. That's not how it works. He didn't even give him a shovel. He said, bro, you need to tend and keep. Do you know how you plant seeds when you don't have a shovel? This is how the work in the kingdom goes.
I'm going to tear back the soil. I'm going to plant a seed of peace. And I'm going to work, and it's going to sweat, and it's going to water it all at the same time.
It's dirty work.
It comes with blood-stained fingernails.
It's not all butterflies and roses in the kingdom, but it's necessary. That's how it works. I hate to break it to you. It comes with persecution, but it comes with joy as well. It's not all bad. It's all good. And he gives you this happy balance because he's like, man, I have to keep you in alignment with me. And it's both. It's both. You can't look at the church and say, oh, man, the pastor, things ain't looking right. The pastor must be wrong.
David was right in the middle of the will of the Lord when he was slobbering all over his face in front of the enemy. He would even in this moment, I'll say it like this. David was anointed three times. First time he was anointed by a prophet. The second time he was anointed by his own children of Judea. And the third time he was anointed by the elders. He was anointed three times before he ever made it into the kingdom. Because there's a process to go through. I'm going to give you a vision because I want to give you a target to hit. But now I'm going to build your character. And through this character building process, it's going to allow you to align with the kingdom. There are visions and dreams in here of prodigals coming home. That's already happened. It's already happened. We've already had prodigals come home. There have been visions of dreams of my mom had a vision of my sister, and I hope she's listening to this, of my sister. We were all standing in a line in the heavens, and we cast crowns at his feet. That was I believe that God gave my mom a prophetic dream. Hey, you can't go. You got to walk by faith. I know it don't look like she's living for God right now. I know you don't like what she's doing right now, but I'm telling you there's coming a day. I've given you a little screenshot of the future. You can't go by what you see. It's going to mess you up. You can't go by what you see. It will mess you up. Ecclesiastes, the wisest man on earth, would be Solomon. He would say, I've seen the righteous die in their righteousness, and I've seen the wicked prosper in their wickedness. That's what he would say. So when you see the wicked prospering, that doesn't mean they're paying their tithes behind closed doors and God's blessing them. And when you see the righteous being persecuted, that doesn't mean that they're out of alignment with the kingdom. There's a big confusion in the movement with that. With all churches, man, they're being persecuted. They must be out of the will of God. And if that's what you think, then you need to be the one in the prayer closet. Because that's the way that it works in the kingdom. Jesus was not without suffering. He was the king of all heavens on earth. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah, I don't remember what, I think it was Isaiah 55. He would say to us, a child will be born. There's going to be a child that's going to be born. He's going to be the Son. He's going to be glorious. He's also going to be the everlasting Father. He's also going to be the Prince of Peace. And he's also going to be the mighty God in one person. And he saw fit to robe himself in flesh and take on the transgression of the world. And he welcomes you in on this process. Hey, bro, we're going to do this together. If I did it, you're not above me. And I'm going to read that to you here. I'm going to give you scripture to back up all the junk that I just said. Okay? Because I know people are looking at me like, bro, why are you talking about all this nonsense, man? So we're going to work it out. Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and 35. All right, I'm going to try to stay straight today. Acts chapter 5 and 35. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. And this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census." I'm going to read it pretty fast because I got a lot. "And drew away many people after him, and he also perished. And all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these." This was be in this context, the children of Israel. This is in Acts after the Holy Ghost has got poured out and it's starting to spread. The apostles are in a courtroom and they're being tried. And so this leader is like, "Listen, let me tell y'all how this is going to go. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Don't mess with them. For if this plan of work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest you even be found to fight against God." Don't mess with them, dudes. Don't mess with them. If this is real and you try to stop it, you're going to fight God. And they all agreed with him, and when they called the apostles and they beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And they beat us. Man, I'm so excited that they beat me for Jesus. That don't make good sense to me. That's just the way it works. They were like, "Yo, this is good stuff. They just beat us for, we're just like him." They did that to him and they did it to us. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They were beaten. They were like, "Man, we counted worthy. That was a glorious thing that just happened to us, that they beat us for the name of Jesus." Jesus didn't say, "Bro, I'm going to keep y'all from this. Now that I've done the work for some, there's going to be this shield around you and you're not ever going to be persecuted." He didn't say that. He didn't say that. But there's this moving forward in the face of opposition. That's what matters. That's how you prove that Jesus is working, when you can move forward in the face of opposition. Peter will say in the New Testament, "What good is it to you if you're good to good people?" What good is that to you? That doesn't prove a thing. Evil people are good to each other. You don't prove anything by being good to one another. But you prove yourself, you prove that I'm working in you when you can be good to the evil person. That's how I get the glory. When you can be good to the people that are not okay, that's when I'm glorified. That's what he's trying to say. They beat us and we took it like champs. I'm his image. That's my image down there. They took it with a smile on their face. That's faith. If you get beat for Jesus and you keep going, that's faith. We weren't called to sit on a pew, by the way. The only one sitting down is Jesus on a throne in heaven. He's the only one who gets to sit because his work is complete. I don't get the opportunity to sit. That's the book of Acts. I'm going to take you to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. We've all been going through Romans on Wednesday nights. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, because the Bible says that the law was there until faith came, faith would be Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's talking about, this is after Acts, so this is after the new birth experience. He's talking to new converts. Okay, new converts. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope. New believers, you're supposed to stand and rejoice. That's what we do. That's what we were doing earlier. Through whom we also have access by faith, okay, and rejoice in hope of glory of God. And not only that, here's the but, right? There's always a but. Okay, get me to the rest of the story. Praise, rejoice, stand. Got it. What's next? We also glory in tribulations. I don't like that verse. That's not so much fun for me. We're going to glory in our tribulation. Why? Because it produces perseverance. You can't have perseverance without tribulation. You're not going to make it to the end unless I try you at time to time. I'm not saying, listen, if you're, I'm not telling you it's a constant life of persecution. And if that's where your mind went, that's totally not what I'm saying. Because Peter actually addresses as, he says, if necessary, you'll be tried with a fiery trial. If necessary, if somehow you get out of whack, God's going to try to keep you back in alignment. And what he does is he gives you a trial. I'm going to endure. You're going to have to go through some tribulations. And what that's going to do is it's going to build your spiritual muscles so that you can persevere through even harder times. So my tribulations are going to produce, he's telling this to the new people. This is not seasoned saints. This is the new body of believers. Because I feel like sometimes we are like, God, this is killing me. I have a good friend of mine that's a pastor. He used to make six figures. He was a banker. The Lord called him into the ministry. He did not make six figures. He was driving a Mercedes, not driving a Mercedes. And at one point, he said, man, when I became assistant pastor, he said, I thought me and the pastor, we were going to be cool. We're going to go golfing a couple times a week. We're going to sit in the office together and study. And he's like, dude, I've never played golf with him ever. Never. He said, one time I was in prayer and I said, God, this cross is killing me. And I said, I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, that's the point. That's the point. You have to die. If you're my image, you have to die out to you. And the way that I do that is I take you through some things. It's not because I'm trying to beat you up. It's because I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to build your character so that you look like me because there's people who need you. Listen, the United States of America in the book of Acts, I'll give you a little, the Bible says, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. It started inside of a building and poured out because it was a natural reference to a spiritual thing that happened. It started inside of a building because it starts on the inside, it's poured out. It started on the inside of a building and it was poured out into the streets because from the inside pouring out, they said, what is that coming out? It didn't happen in America. That means somebody had to get on a boat full of the Holy Ghost and believe in Jesus and cross an ocean and come speaking to American people about who God is. Jesus didn't die for the U.S. of A. He died for the world. So somebody said, man, there's people out there and they need to see what his image looks like. That's faith. That's faith. If somebody wouldn't have done that, we would all be going to hell because we would not be there. We would have no access to salvation. Because I'm not Jewish. Romans 5, he says, so in which we stand and rejoice, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. He said, listen, I'm going to take you through some things, but it's not going to disappoint you. Like, it's going to be really, really good, but we're going to work through some stuff at the same time. Because the love of God, this is what he says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's the hope, is the Spirit. He said, listen, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to give you a part of me. And it's going to empower you to give. That's what I love about Jesus. He gives us the best gift right up front. New believer, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. You're now my image. Now I'm going to make you look like me. And I'm actually going to empower you to do so because without it, you'll never look like me. You'll never be able to endure the tribulations and make it on the other side, because I can either get bitter or I can get better. I can allow the bad things to pull me out of alignment, and it's painfully obvious when that happens. Or I can say, man, I love it. When I know what's going on in people's lives and I see them praising and worshiping, I'm like, oh, that's his image right there. Jesus' face is shining so bright upon them because they have been because they have been fighting hell, but they are praising the Lord at all times. That's his image. That's what it looks like. You can put a smile on your face and be persecuted at the same time. Oh, my boy, you're going to make it. I can trust that dude, right? You're going to make it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6:1-10. 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. That goes back to what the prophet said. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. He said, I don't want to be offensive on any way, shape, or form, because I don't want my ministry to be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience and tribulations. Patience and tribulations. In needs and distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults and labors, in sleeplessness and fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering. Why does my guy have to put that's a fruit of the Spirit is long suffering? He's trying to tell you, bro, you're going to suffer long, man. It just is what it is. That's the fruit you got to eat. Long suffering by kindness, by the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do any of those things without the Spirit of God. You can have good qualities and you can be trained pretty good, but you can't really do what the Lord's called you to do without His Spirit. By sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and as having nothing yet possessing all things. He says, I have nothing, but I possess all things. He's trying to say there's a healthy balance with all of it. You can't think because you go through things that you're out of the will of God. He said, man, it takes all of those things. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not okay, but when it's not okay, doesn't mean you're out of His will. And when things are going okay, it doesn't mean you're in His will. That's just how it works in the kingdom. His ways are above my ways, man. I don't get it sometimes, but I'm trying to walk in faith. Move to chapter 11, 22. Are there Hebrews? So am I. Are there Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He's a child of God enduring all these things. That's what he's trying to tell you. I am of all of this, but that's not below me. I am a child of God. I am literally the walking example of everything that God embodies. But I'm not below all of that other stuff. That doesn't make me, it means he's going to get me through it. And when you can endure things that are not okay, that's faith. Not having faith makes you want to walk away. When your faith is wavering, you're like, bro, I'm done with this nonsense. This is absolute garbage and I'm done. I'm done. Are there ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Listen, Jesus even died for stoners. Paul just admitted it. He said, bro, I was stoned one time. They tried to stone Stephen, right? They tried to stone the adulterous woman. My God died for everybody, okay? He said, man, once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked a night and a day, and I've been in the deep. In journeys often in peril, so stupid. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. My own people hated me. My own people hated me. And that's how it works in the kingdom. Jesus said, I came back to divide households. I came to separate fathers from sons. I came to separate some things. I want my bride who's serving me. That's who I want. That's why he would say, when the apostles would come and say, hey, your mom and your brothers are out there. He said, who are they? These people right here, this is my family. These are my people. He said, man, I was beaten by my own people. In hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things. He doesn't even, that's all pretty bad. And he says, and there was other stuff. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. In all of those things, he still had compassion for others. My boy endured some stuff, and his compassion was still for other people. He didn't allow all the tribulations to make him cold in heart and say, I'm tired of walking this process out, God. It's not fair. I'm your own precious child and you're going to treat me like this? You say, man, that makes me love people even more. I think about more. I want people to be okay because I know they're going through the same thing that I'm going through. And I want them to be okay. I want them to be okay. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. The God of Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. Let me read one more passage in Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. I'm not here to go into deep revelation, but he's saying, man, I had so much revelation that something was given to me to keep me humble. That's how it works with Jesus. Okay, man, I have to keep you humble, right? This is what this process is all about. I'm not doing it as a punishment. I'm trying to keep you humble. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. I pleaded with the Lord three times, the same way Jesus in a garden would plead, God, if this cup, if you will take this from me. That's what he's trying to point you to, man. I am his image. That doesn't spare me. But this same guy, I'm talking about the bad, but this same guy, man, he would cast demons out of people and blind eyes would be opened and he would take the movement to the Gentiles and people would be filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's not all bad. I'm not trying to talk about the bad. I'm trying to bring clarity to some confusion if you're like, God, why is this all this pain? You might be right in the middle of the will of the Lord. Or he's like, hey, you're doing great. I can trust you with this because on the other side, it's going to be divine. That's what I felt this morning in my prayer room. He's like, bro, you've been through some junk. That's okay. You needed it. I needed it. I didn't know how much pride I had lately. I thought I was pretty humble, if I can be honest. I feel like I try to be pretty humble. And throughout this process, he's like, you need to work on that. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I work on that. He's like, here's another one. You failed there too, guy. Take that one on the chin too. I'm going to put this in your way. Are you going to be okay? I'm going to give you some haters that are going to put you on blast. Are you going to pray for them? You can't pray for your haters, man, if you don't love them. I was reading Lamentations the other day. Brother Mike was kind of talking about this morning. When we were praying for our community, I was reading Lamentations and I was so burdened and grieved. I began to pray and intercede in my living room for the sins of the world. That's what Moses would do as a leader, as he would, God, please spare them. Because he is showing to you as a leader, if someone is underneath of you, you need to be interceding on their behalf. That doesn't matter if you're if you're an employer and you have employees, you need to pray for your employees, even if they don't go to church because they're underneath you. You have to be a covering. That's what Jesus would do with his disciples. Come, I'm going to bring you into a prayer room. I'm going to teach you how we do this thing. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I believe Jesus is doing something very, very special in the atmosphere. That's what I feel like. That's what happened with praise. That's what happened with worship. That's what happened with me this morning. But I think that sometimes we can get confused, like, Jesus, are you ever going to come through? Jesus, you gave me a lot of prophetic words, and there's been a lot of things happen. Why is bad stuff happening? He's working some stuff out. I don't like that part about it, but I love that as well. John 15, the world's hatred. 15 and 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated. He's like telling you, bro, if the world hates you, you know they hated me first, right? Like, this isn't like a new thing. This isn't something that is going to like stumble. They hated me first. Like, I was the forerunner for the process. I literally robed myself in flesh and I taught you how to operate. So when I'm not around, you know what to do. I did it first. If the world hates you, you know that it hates me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because of you, you are not of the world. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Do you remember when I said you're not great? You're not going to be greater than me. I didn't beat the process to elevate you. I beat the process to elevate me through you. You got to be okay when things are not okay. That's how people are going to glorify me. That's what even Peter would say to his apostles. When the world, he said, when people revile you and they treat you unjustly and they unjustly persecute you, if you keep having kind words, they'll glorify God. That's how it works. We're his divine representatives to endure persecution with his spirit because this world needs to see, hey, there's hope out there. There's hope. What better way? I don't like persecution. I don't like trials. I don't like going through bad things. And sometimes I've handled it right, and sometimes I've handled it wrong. But I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. But remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But here's the kicker. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. You might be hated by some because that's just the nature of the beast. But there are also people, there was 3,000 people that were saved on the day of Pentecost because they believed my words. There's still good and bad all at the same time. There was persecution and yet there was moving forward. That's how he uses it to push. Persecution pushes you into the uncomfortable realm. I shared the story last week when I came to an altar one time. I didn't like going to an altar. I didn't like praying at the altar. I didn't like praying out loud, but it was when I got out of my comfort zone and I went to an altar. He's like, okay, now you're getting the hang of this. I'm trying to push you out of your comfort zone because comfort is not where you're at. You can't live in the comfort zone. I hope that I have done. I've got one more thing to talk about. I'm not trying to elevate persecutions here today, but I want there to be clarity that sometimes when bad things happen, it just God's working some things out. It's not that he hates you. In fact, he loves you and he can trust you. And so you have to self-evaluate. Is it me? Am I the problem? I think that we give the devil too much credit because the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, not the devil. God hardened his heart because there was an outcome that God needed. And so he had to harden somebody's heart so that this outcome could happen. Sometimes things just happen that are literally unexplained. I don't get that about Jesus. That's why his ways are higher than mine. That's why you can't look in the natural. Man, it feels like chaos. Well, maybe Jesus is working some good stuff out. He blinded his own apostles. When Jesus would come back, these two apostles, remember when he would walk along the road, they would walk on the 7-mile journey to the next town? They're like, man, our hearts burned within us. The Bible says that he blinded them so they didn't know who he was. Jesus blinded his own people. How are you going to spit in somebody's face and loose their eyes and then blind these guys? That's just what he does. I don't get it. I don't get it. Lazarus would die and he would raise him back up. Stephen would die and never get back up. I don't get it. It's just how it works sometimes. I'm not trying to figure out God like that. I'm like, okay, you've got me here. What do I need to learn in this trial? If this is the lot in life, if this is my cross, what do you want me to learn and help me to navigate through this? Clearly, you trust me, and I understand you're not trying to break me down in the bad way. You're trying to build me up and make me look like you. I wish it came through waves of blessing and being in the third layer of heaven. That's not his design plan. He says tribulations, it's what's going to produce the perseverance. That's going to produce the character, and the character is going to produce hope. That's my plan. So don't be confused when you're like, man, we know some folks that they were doing great. Like, man, we're going to step out on faith and we're going to start living for the Lord. And it's like the bottom fell out. You want to live by faith? It's a ride, boy. It ain't no joke. It's not a fun journey. That doesn't mean God hates you. And I believe on the backside of that, it's going to be divine. And they're going to have a story to tell, which is the point. That is the point, is to have a story to tell. That's the point of all of that. That's the point of your trials, is to share the good news. Let me tell you about this Jesus. You're going through that? Let me tell you what happened. I mean, I've been there. And if I don't ever say that, I'm doing him no justice. You're not going to catch me on a pew with my hands folded, never talking about my problems, acting stoic like I've got everything together. That's not me. I'm going to tell you my problems because I want you to be okay. I want to share the glory of the Lord, and that's how it gets spread.
I'm almost done. If you don't mind playing for a few moments, we didn't talk about this, Joachim.
I don't like that part about my story. There's pain in my past that I wish I could leave it in the past. There's dark nights and ugly stories that I wish I couldn't, I didn't have to tell. But that's how people know that God is good. That's how he know that he is faithful. I love, man, me and Joe were hanging out the other day. We were helping some folks, and these dudes were, we were hanging out with some stoners, man. And he began to tell about, hey man, let me tell you about where I came from. He wasn't in a church service, talking to some cute guy in a suit. We were on a four-wheeler with a dude drinking beer. Let me tell you about this Jesus that I know. Let me tell you about where I've been. You're not alone where you're at. I don't need him stoic on a pew not telling his story. He was right where he needed to be in that moment. I'm not here to keep saved people saved. I'm here to win the lost. Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching, and it is. People are saved by the foolishness of preaching. This is his design format. I don't get it. I don't even like it, if I can be honest. I love preaching the gospel, but I'm like, man, there's more than just this. There's more to being a pastor than just this, I promise you. It was those moments in there. I love this because this is divine things happening. I'm not trying to minimize this, and if that's where you went, that's not what I'm saying. I do love preaching. I've been excited to get here today. Not for me to preach because I love worshiping with the body. I love that. If we could have stayed in that flow all morning, but I felt like I was supposed to speak, I didn't want to. I said, God, I don't want to speak today. I'm totally cool just being in your presence, just worshiping with my brothers and sisters. I love that. There's no greater pleasure. But if you want me to speak, I'll speak. And he said, bring clarity. I said, yes, sir. I'll bring clarity. Sometimes we get confused by those things that don't happen the way that we want them to happen. I'll give you a story about a man named Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas didn't used to be Doubting Thomas. You find in John where Lazarus dies. His sisters go to Jesus, or they send word to him. He waits. Y'all know the story. I'm not trying to navigate through all that. And what God says, he says, I'm glad he died. I'm glad Lazarus died for your sake. He said, let's go. We're going to go back. We're going to wake him up. Thomas would say, Jesus, we're going to go through back through Judea. We're going back through there. They just tried to stone you. They just tried to stone him because he said, before Abraham was, I am. You make yourself like God. That's why they tried to throw him off a cliff when he forgave sins, because only God alone can forgive sins. That's what the prophets tell you, because you can't argue with that. That's how the prophetic works, by the way. You're going to go back through Judea. They just tried to kill you, bro. They just tried to stone you, man. And you want to go right back through there? He's like, man, there's 12 hours in the day. If you walk in the light, you won't stumble. We're going to make it. It's going to be okay. And he's like, man, this dude's crazy. He's finna kill that dude. He's like, you know what? You know what he says? Let's all go. So we shall die with him. That's what Doubting Thomas would say. If you're going to die, I'm going to die too. When Lazarus is dead, he says, I'm glad he died. Because now God will be glorified. Because the only way that God can be glorified is when I die. And when he raises me back up in the newness of life, that's when he can begin to be glorified. But it's not until I die out to me that he can be glorified. I don't like that it comes through trials and tribulations. I don't like that process. But that's his chosen method of blessings, is through promise of tribulations. I'm telling you, the Lord told me this is going to be a city of David. That's going to happen whether there's doubters or there's ameners. It makes me no difference. Makes me no difference. It's happening whether you believe or unbelieve. Come, let us go, that we'll die with him. God, I've got so much faith in who you are, I'm willing to die for you. He calls us all in on this journey. Are you willing to die for me? Children of God. So what he's telling them in Romans, you're going to go through, are you willing to die for me? Because that's when I get glorified. That's when my image is released. Thomas, so full of faith, was willing to die. I'm willing to be stoned to death for you. Jesus, after the death, burial, and resurrection, he would come back and he would minister to the apostles. And he would be all man and all God. He would be in spirit, yet he would eat. He would prove that he had flesh and bone, yet he would walk through closed doors. And they were in a room with closed doors, and he stepped into the midst of them. Thomas was not there. He said, peace to you. And he would begin to talk to the disciples. The next day, the disciples were so excited. And Thomas was there. Like, bro, we just seen Jesus. He didn't say what he said he was going to do. He wasn't the Messiah that came back and is ruling and reigning like he said he was going to do. He didn't do what I thought he was going to do. And because he didn't do what I thought, it didn't look like what I thought it should look like. And so my belief system is gone. The same guy that said, I'm willing to die when I'm in your presence. I'm willing to die for you, but when things don't go my way, my belief system is shattered. That's the problem with the church. God, you didn't do what I thought you were going to do. Where are you? And he's like, I never left you. I've been here all along. We had somebody pull up in our parking lot. Their pastor literally sent them to this church. I've never talked to him. I don't even know who he is. They were like, man, I'm coming up here on vacation. He said, that's the church you need to go to. They sat in our parking lot in the spirit of the Lord and came into their vehicle and said, I've put my spirit here. Kind of looks like persecution. And there's people we don't even know being led here. You can't go by what you see. You can't do that. You can't operate. God, it looks like everything's failing. And maybe you're right on time for the miraculous. Maybe you're one day away from the promise. Thomas would be in the room. I don't believe anymore. And once again, Jesus would step into the midst. He had already told the disciples, unless I can put my hand in his side, unless I can put my fingers in, I won't believe a thing. I don't believe it unless I see it. That's not faith. If that's your mindset, you have no faith. That tells me you don't have a prayer life. That tells me you don't read your word. The book of Jude will tell you that praying in the Spirit is what builds faith. You can't pray in the Spirit. You can't build faith if you don't have the Spirit. So Doubting Thomas would be there, and Jesus would step into the midst and he'd say, Thomas, come. Come put your hand in my side. It messes me up when Jesus showed this to me. He said, my glorified body was still broken. I created the heavens and the earth. There's realms of space that they have not even seen yet. They can't even get to the depths of who I am, because you got to understand, creation can't even understand the depths of Jesus without his spirit. And what he chose was to robe himself in flesh and to step into a room and say, my glorified body is still broken for you. I chose not to cover up my wounds, but I've left them open so that you can see it. I could have healed myself, but I allowed myself to be broken for you, Thomas. You notice when he touched him, it wasn't bleeding. Because we can't bleed on people. He would say, come touch me. Put your hand right in this hole. That's our job as the church. Come. You've had suicidal thoughts. Come. Put your hand in my side. I've been where you've been. I'm not bleeding anymore, though. When you touch me, I won't get blood on you any longer, because I've been healed by the blood. I'm not stoic and covering up my wounds. I'll openly show you I've been broken. I'm not going to hide who I am, because every person in this room, this world needs to hear your story. I've been hurt by church. I'm going to tell people how God got me through it. I hated pastors and youth pastors. I didn't trust anybody in the church. Come touch my wounds. Come touch my wounds. I've not been okay. I've put a gun to my head and pulled the trigger. I've been there. Come touch my wounds. I took 14 pills at one time because I didn't care if I lived or died. Come touch my wounds. I've been where you've been. I'm not going to be a stoic preacher with a fancy suit and tie and say, I've not been where you've been. That's not me. And that's not you. This world needs to hear, I used to hate people. I used to hate myself. But let me tell you about this man named Jesus, who died for you. This world needs to hear your story. Too many times we want to say, I'm healed. I'm good. I'm good now. You a phony. You're a phony. You the exact same thing that hurt you. That's not okay. Pastors messed me up. I do my very best. I'm so thankful for that. That's the best thing that could have ever happened to me. They showed me what not to do. That's fantastic. I had people hurt me along the way. I don't like it, but I'm very thankful for it. It's given me a love for people that I would have never achieved without it. I'm thankful for the process, because it's made me everything that he is. I can't be like him without him. If God has given you a vision or a dream, it's going to happen. He's given you a screenshot for a reason. If you've been broken and hurt, it's okay. There are people who need you to say, come touch me. I've not been okay for a long time. I was not okay for a long time. And it took a long time for me to get better. It didn't happen overnight. I was on a 3-year journey before I ever feel like I even heard the voice of the Lord. People need to hear your story. They need us to be okay when things have not been okay, because that's when he gets glorified. If I stay wounded, God don't get glorified. And there is nothing that he cannot heal. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing he can't do. It might take some time, but there's nothing that he can't work out. Sometimes it happens in a moment, and sometimes it's a process. It's been horrible what's happened in our community. But I hope it's woken some people up. That happened in our sleepy town? Yes, it did. We don't get to bypass that because it's full of Christians. There's a lot of Christians here. There's a lot of people that pray. Still happen. It still happened. But I believe divinely that Jesus is going to orchestrate those things for the good. That because that's what he does. He always uses the bad things for good, if we'll allow it. I was bitter for a long time and didn't allow God to heal me. And if he would have taken me out when I tried to let him, he would have been justified in doing so. He would have been justified in taking me out. But he saw into the future, said, oh no. I can't let him go out like that. I know he's trying to go out like that. I'm telling you that God is going to do wonders in the midst of this church, in the midst of our community. I'm not saying because this is anything special. I'm saying what God said is what will be. What God said is what will be. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. God always does things contrary to popular belief. That's why he told Gideon, man, you got too many pokes. Get rid of all of them guys. You're going to get the glory, not me. That's the way it works. You can't get the glory. I need the glory. So you got to get rid of you so that I can get the glory. And that comes through trials. So if you feel like you've been going through something and it's pulling you to a place of depression, I want you to have joy this morning. And I pray that you have peace in the midst of your trials because God is working some things out because you're worth it. You're worth it. Your trial, you are worth it. Your character is beautiful and he's trying to make you even better than you already are. I mean, you're already beautiful. You're already my image. I want to take you deeper into me. I want to shave some of you off so you can look more like me, but you're amazing. I don't love the trials that I've been through lately. It's not okay. I am so thankful for it because it has forever changed me. And that I am thankful for. Because what he has shown me, I couldn't have without the process. David didn't just immediately be king. That's not how it worked. I'm not saying that I'm a king. I'm totally not saying that. What I'm saying is there's just a process sometimes. God gives you a dream, process, provision. That's his chosen way. And he's working things out. And everybody in here has been going through something. And the Bible talks about seasons. It's going to be good. And it's going to get better. It's okay. And so if we could just spend the next few moments and just, I don't want there to be any confusion. And I want you to pray, if you would pray, God, make sense of this situation. Is it me? What are you trying to fix in me? Because that's the only thing that I have any control of is me. I'm nobody's savior. I can't fix anybody. I can love you and pray for you, but at the end of the day, you got to fix you. Nobody could fix me. It was a choice I had to make on my own. I felt the prayers of my mother. I believe that angelic beings stood around me and didn't allow me to take me all the way out. But I essentially had to make the choice to walk towards Jesus. Nobody's going to do that for me. I love my wife. She covers me in prayer, and I would probably not be okay if it was not for that. But there's things that she cannot do for me. There's just things that she cannot do that I have to make that decision on my own. And that's where we are individuals with Jesus. He's like, man, I'm going to work some things out in you so that you can be the better you. It's happened with our church. I'm not saying that good or bad, right or wrong has happened. I'm just saying, man, sometimes things happen. Sometimes it's the will of the Lord and sometimes it's not the will of the Lord. His ways are higher than my ways. He doesn't give me all of those things sometimes. But what he said is going to come to pass. What he said is going to come to pass. I have no doubt. I believe in the people in this room. And I think that you all have a vital story for our community and for your family and for the people. It's beautiful. All your pain is divine. when you give it to Jesus. That's the best attribute that you have, if I can just be honest. Man, that's the best thing that could ever happen to you on the other side. And there's people who need to hear that story. Man, there's mothers with kids. Man, we've struggled as being new moms and dads. Man, we went through some nonsense trying to figure out how do we even raise kids. It's not easy. I want to be there for young couples. Hey, how can we help you? What can we do to help you? I've been through some. I'm not saying I did anything right, but touch my wounds. I've made some mistakes with my kids that I've had to go back and apologize for. Man, I'm not right all the time, but I'm not going to fake the funk either and say that I am. I believe Jesus is doing something very, very special. Again, when I felt that this morning, I was like, oh man, you're getting ready to do some stuff. And I'm excited. You wouldn't have brought that to my mind if you weren't getting ready to lose some good things. I literally felt the same excitement this morning as I did back then. And I feel like he was bringing some things to a surface. We've been prophesying about going into a new season. And man, that doesn't happen immediately. That's not how the prophets worked. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Give him 40 days. There's always a time frame. There's prophecy. There's a timeline. And then the conclusion. We've been prophesying for a long time. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because sometimes doubt creeps in. Well, there's the pastor again. He's prophesying again and ain't saying nothing happened. In fact, it looks kind of doom and gloom. I'm here to speak to the doubt this morning. I'm here to spit in the devil's face. That's why this worship was like that this morning. That's why we had powerful prayer on Tuesday. I believe there was, if you could feel the power that was in this room on Tuesday night prayer, it was dynamic that was happening. The Lord gave my wife a vision, and as we were praying, we, the body, were in different places simultaneously at the same time. That's power. That's power. That's what this community needs. It needs us to be okay because they need us to be okay. Those guys that me and Joe were with the other day, they needed us to be there in that moment. They needed somebody to be there in that moment because nobody's going to them like that. I believe Jesus is going to do something divine personally, physically, spiritually, and in us. And in everybody who believers, I believe that we can look back and say, man, this has been crazy. But I believe there would be a glimpse of hope if you could be honest with yourself for a moment and say, you know what? I didn't like all of that happened, but I'm better for it now. That really wasn't okay, and I probably mismanaged me a little bit. But man, I am so much better for it than I ever was without it. That's God's chosen way. I'm trying to give you the Bible of his chosen method of loving you and shaping you is through trials. And that's different for everybody. That's different for everybody. I'm here to speak to the doubt, to the spiritual world this morning that would try to creep in, because that's what it wants to do. Because the spirit of the area wants to tell you nothing's ever going to happen. It's not going to grow. That's not what the Bible says. And that's not what's going to happen. And that tries to creep in from time to time. It messes with me from time to time. That's the nature of the spirit realm. I'm here to spit in his face this morning and say that Jesus is going to do everything that he said. He is a liar. And every person in this room is divinely valuable. And you are appointed here, I believe, by the will of the Lord. I believe it is no accident that there's any person in this room. I don't think it's an accident of the things that you've been through in your past. Because there are people in your future who need to hear your past. I can't minister to everybody, but I believe there's enough people in this room that have been through different things that we're able to minister to a lot of people. And we're better together. What better way? That's what Jesus did. I was broken, so you're going to be broken. That's my chosen method. So if we can just spend the next few moments and just say, Jesus, have your way amongst us, God. Help me to navigate through the process and some of the whys. If you need whys, ask God for the whys. God, why did this have to happen? Sometimes he answers, sometimes he don't. He's Jesus. I don't get it all the time. He showed us that there was going to be a ripple effect that would go out from here. I believe that's going to happen. I have no doubt about it. And it's not about us, churches opposing churches. It's not anything like that. I'm not trying to say that we're better than anybody. But what I'm saying is this community is full of people that love God collectively. And we are going to do dynamic things for the kingdom. And hell is upset right now because we are on the verge of a stronghold. Why do you think crazy things happen like that? Hell's not okay with what's getting ready to pop off. Hell is not okay with what's getting ready to pop off. It's going to be divine. I want to be a part in all of it. I want to be a part of everything that he has. I believe in crazy miracles. I mean, I've had visions of our young people praying for the sick, Sebastian and Levi, praying for the sick and them recovering. They have the Holy Ghost. They don't need me. They have him. They have him. I believe in the supernatural. You can't shake me from that. I believe in the divine, and I believe God is going to do great things. I'm sorry it took so long tonight, today. But I felt like that is what the Lord impressed upon me, and I hope I did an adequate job at showing you through Scripture that even when things are not okay, that does not mean that you are outside of the will of God, because that's what the devil wants to tell you. This is bad. It's happening because you're not in his will. And I am here to oppose the voice of the adversary. That does not mean that you're outside of his will. And it could very much mean that you are right smack dab in the middle of it. David would be hiding in a cave, starving to death, and right in the middle of the will of God at the exact same time. That's not comfortable. That's facts. It just is what it is. He would be running from the kingdom that he was crowned over, running from it, right in the middle of the will of the Lord and running at the same time. You can't go by what this world says. Hey, that's not right. Yes, it is. That's not natural. You're right. It's not. I like that about Jesus. I like that he does the supernatural. I like that he does crazy stuff. Just because I'm the pastor, angelic being, when I fell off the roof, angelic beings didn't swoop me up and carry me down and give me a soft landing. That's not what happened. I didn't get to bypass the process. But I called on his name and he healed me that week. But it didn't. I didn't bypass the pain. The pain was real. Well, isn't this your, like, your building and you should, God, no. This ain't, I'm just one of you guys. I'm not anybody special. I didn't get spared. I wore soft shoes and I slipped off the roof. I was an idiot. And he didn't send angels to help me because I was dumb. Okay? But when I called upon him, he answered me. And I said, Jesus, you're greater than this pain in my body. And God, I believe you for the miraculous. The doctors say that I'm broken. And I say that I'm made whole. And I'm telling you that God healed me in that moment. That's not natural. That's still the God that we serve. You can tell me, yeah, you've been going through it. God still healed me in the midst of some chaos. He still moved when things weren't okay. That's the God that I serve. He didn't spare me, but he helped me get through it. And that's what he does for us. That is what he does for us. That's what he does for us. So if we could spend the next few moments in prayer, I don't...